Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening, you know I'm a big Brewers fan. They just had a four-run inning. They were up 12-5 in the bottom of the eighth inning. I don't know about you all, but I might smell a hamburger in the offing that might be free. We'll get around to the Brewers as that game progresses. I'll keep you up to date. You don't have to go anywhere. But there is incredibly important business of our democracy and for every single citizen of these United States to be paying attention to today. The continuing drama is ongoing in Texas and, in fact, in a small state court in southern Illinois. We've got just the expert to talk with us about the stakes of Governor Greg Abbott out of Texas, his plan basically to execute Donald Trump's direction to cheat Texas Democrats out of their congressional representation in advance of the 2026 midterms. This has set off a firestorm of debate amongst Democrats and good government organizations. And we are joined for the first half hour of today's show by Ruth Conniff. She is the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. She has an incredible background. She formerly served as editor-in-chief of the Progressive magazine. She's written for all sorts of publications, The Nation, The New York Times, and she's here with us this afternoon. Welcome, Ruth. We've got so much news going on with the story out of Texas. I'm so glad you're here. You penned an editorial for the Wisconsin Examiner arguing that Democrats should not engage in a race to the bottom in partisan gerrymandering in response to Texas's attempts to do so and deprive Democratic voters in Texas of their congressional representation. Thanks so much for being here and sharing your views with all of us this afternoon, Ruth. I just wanted to share with our listeners before we get into the meat of your op-ed what occurred this afternoon in Illinois. So there's a bit of detailed background here, but in short, folks, if you haven't been in the weeds on everything that's been going on in Texas, Texas House Democrats fled the state to Illinois a little bit over a week and a day or so ago, and they've been in Illinois ever since. Subsequently, the Attorney General out of Texas, Ken Paxton, has filed lawsuits. Greg Abbott is agitating. And then Republican Texas House members effectively issued arrest warrants for the House Democrats in Texas. And they filed in Illinois state court, in a small state court in the southern part of Illinois, to execute those warrants in Illinois. Of course, Texas law enforcement has no jurisdiction in Illinois, so they had to go to an Illinois court. That court this afternoon denied Texas's attempts to enforce those arrest warrants in Illinois, stating somewhat perfunctorily that this court has no subject matter jurisdiction over the matter. So that is what has happened just within the last couple of hours. But let's get into the meat of the debate, Ruth. Tell us what your view is. And if I've missed or gotten any of those details wrong, please correct me and tell folks why you think Democrats shouldn't engage in this race to the bottom when it comes to gerrymandering.
Well, first of all, the whole drama in Illinois is both fascinating and very familiar in Wisconsin because, yes, of course, we had our own Democratic legislators flee to Illinois to try to stop Act 10, or at least to delay and bring a lot of public attention to that effort. And that has been an ongoing battle that has been at the center of politics in our state now for a decade and a half. And, you know, I think that these kinds of moves by Democrats are really important. I think it's just, we are in an incredible political crisis. It was presaged by the Walker era in Wisconsin, which was also all about incredibly divisive politics and an attack on public institutions and democracy. And, you know, we're clawing our way back in Wisconsin. So I think here in Wisconsin, we have a very special view of this gerrymandering fight that's going on in Texas and now, you know, metastasizing across the country. And that view has to do in part with the fact that we have just now recovered from the worst in the nation partisan gerrymander of our state by the Republicans when they had trifecta control of government in Wisconsin. And the fight for fair maps, which went on for years, flooding the Capitol with members of the public who are saying this is just a fundamental democracy issue. It is beyond partisanship. It's not about which party controls things. It's fundamentally about whether we have a fair system, people have the right to vote, whether voters choose their politicians or politicians get to choose their voters so that they can remain in power. Those were powerful arguments, and they made an impact on the state. And I think we're critical to reversing this insane right-wing control that was really liquidating civil society, starting with schools and teachers and moving through firefighters and public safety and all of the institutions that, you know, are our common interest in protecting in Wisconsin. So we finally have fair maps in Wisconsin after that long, long, long battle. And so now suddenly to see Democrats across the country saying, you know what, we have to fight fire with fire. We're going to pick our own voters. We're going to rig the maps, and we're going to try to reverse the 5-seat gain that Trump and the Republicans can make in Texas by gerrymandering California, New York, maybe Illinois, and, you know, just fight this battle the same way that the Republicans are fighting it. I have to say that for a Wisconsinite who's followed the fair maps fight, to see that reversal is pretty stunning, because it's really, it is an emergency, absolutely. We are living under an authoritarian regime that has no respect for the rule of law. So I think it is reasonable to think about out-of-the-box strategies to try to fight back, but to absolutely give up the moral high ground and to say, we're willing to cheat just as badly as their side cheats. We just have to win political control, I think is a major loss. And I think it's a major loss for a few very big reasons. One is it's just impractical. Republicans control more state legislatures and have more trifecta control of states than Democrats do. And if this thing continues to grow nationwide, at the end of the day, Democrats are not going to win this way. Yes, we can claw back those 5 seats in California. But beyond that, as it moves out across the country, I don't think that this mid-decade redistricting idea is a winner just on pragmatic grounds. But that's really not the most important reason. I think the most important reason that it's the wrong move is that Democrats are in a real crisis since Trump was elected a second time. And that crisis has to do with, how did it happen that most voters decided that they would prefer an authoritarian who is going to burn down the US government and all of the historic commitments that we've had as a people to the rule of law and democracy and fair public institutions? How is it that they chose that? And Democrats have to figure it out. They have to figure out, how do they make the case to voters that in fact, this is not the best option that they have. And the Democrats as a group do represent the interests of working class voters in particular, who are really attracted to Trump. And I think going along with Gavin Newsom's plan to just rig the game so Democrats can claw back some power is the wrong road in a long-term way for Democrats. And it's super frustrating for people. I get it, because I've had a lot of these debates to think about the long road when we have an emergency right now. But it's the only way that we recover from this crisis in our national politics is that Democrats need to think about, what about all the rural areas of Wisconsin and all the formerly manufacturing heavy districts across the industrial Midwest that they have lost, that were solidly blue and are now solidly red? How are they making the case to voters that they really represent voters? And if the Democrats can't figure out that and can't put all of their energy into solving that, and instead, in the same way that there is an arms race in campaign finance and Democrats need to go to billionaires because Republicans go to billionaires and Democrats need to redraw maps because Republicans redraw maps, that contest is not going to result in a good government for people. And it's not going to result in an ability of Democrats to truly distinguish themselves from Republicans and make the case. So that is my argument.
Folks, that's Ruth Conniff. She's the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. For argument's sake, and just to do a little devil's advocacy with you, Ruth, I have two responses. And one is, potentially, if we were to add up the seats, Yeah, I know you did the states math, but someone is doing the addition on the seats. Let's say it was pragmatically possible for Democrats to do this. Let's further make the argument that if Democrats didn't do this, Donald Trump will not only be seizing control of the Washington, D.C. police force, but seizing control of police forces based on completely bogus allegations of national emergency in cities like Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, and across the country. And let's assume further that Donald Trump continues that declaration of a national emergency throughout the 2026 midterms, and that he uses that control of local police forces and, frankly, U.S. military forces on the ground to quell otherwise protected protests and to intimidate voters in the midterms of 2026. And further, let's assume that he uses not just that militarized military against its own citizenry, not only the seizure of local law enforcement, but his efforts to seize election data in all of these same jurisdictions, as he has been trying to do for quite some time. And let's assume further that by doing this, he is able to effectively wrest control, again, of the House of Representatives and the Senate. And let's assume that his authoritarianism gets worse. In other words, I am painting the Armageddon scenario. Does your analysis still hold? Because doesn't it presume that we will actually have a functioning democracy with representative government after Donald Trump is done trying to wreck it? And if that's not actually true, then doesn't that require meeting fire with fire in this moment?
Well,
and let me just throw one other thing out there. And we're coming up on time, so I'm going to set out this massive hypothetical, Ruth, which I love to do with my guests, and then, you know, go to a short little bit of messages. But let me throw this other pragmatic concern out there, or potential solution. And that is one that Common Cause, and we'll talk a little about them on the other side, mentioned. What if anything that Democrats do in Democrat-controlled states explicitly by legislation requires the undoing of the hyper-gerrymand after the next census? In other words, returns it to the independent redistricting committees. What if that legislation now requires those in states that don't yet have them? Is this not a moment to effectively fight fascism and maybe make independent redistricting committees the standard? We discuss more with Ruth on the other side after my lengthy hypothetical. And each and every one of you, 855-752-4842. Is democracy in the balance? Do Democrats need to fight fire with fire? We discuss more on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 12 wins for the Brewers. Free burgers at George Webb's, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment.